the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Many of the Apostle Paul's quotes and that we hear is spread throughout his letters, but one in particular is in 2 Timothy when it says, he says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day." We hope you have that kind of assurance in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. If you do not, I want to tell you before this program's over, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would convict you and bring you to the realization of your need for a Savior. And the only one that can fill that void is Jesus Christ. I pray you would ask him into your life. Well, Alex is going to join us in a little bit. He had an appointment, but he is going to get back with us. And when he does, he'll join us. But today is a day of prayer. So when we start taking calls in the last segment, if you have a prayer request or if you have a praise because of answered prayer, we'd love to hear it. And Brent is ready to receive it. If you send in to Facebook or Word or whatever at AFR.net, we will get that and we'll do our best to put it on as well. One more thing I wanted to do, and I'll do this while we're waiting on Alex so that way he can be more involved in the Bible study even when we get started. We're gathering listener stories. And we want these to be played during our fall share-a-thon, October the 7th, 8th, and 9th. So if the Lord has blessed you through AFR, and Alex and I always say, you know, we hear it all the time here on Exploring the Word, how God has blessed people using AFR. Share that with us. It can be a minute to 2 minutes, and you might hear your own voice and your own story during Share-a-thon. Again, that's October 7th, 8th, and 9th. And the number that you can call and leave that story, your listener story, your testimony is this, 877-876-8893. That's 877-876-8893. Tell us how Christ has used AFR in your life to be saved, to grow in the Lord, to get relationships built up, helped, whatever it is, and give God the glory. That's what we want to do, so we hope that you will do that. We're in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and we're going through what is called the pastoral epistles. That's 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus. We've already studied 1 Timothy and Titus. The reason we took Titus first is because Paul wrote Titus before he did 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy is Paul's last letter that he wrote. And when we get to chapter 4 of this, you'll find out what he really said right before he would go to be of the Lord. So here we are. We start in verse 12, and I've just read that, and he says, "I suffer these things." Now, he's been talking about how the people in Asia have left him, and they're really putting Timothy on the spot. Timothy's supporting Paul, but the church at Ephesus, where he is, they've got people that, although they'll owe a lot to Paul since it's religion that is illegal anymore, they're not making their way to Rome to stand with Paul. So he says, regardless of all the suffering that I am having to do, I am not ashamed. I do it again, for I know whom I have believed, whom I've trusted. This word has the idea, I know who I've put my faith in, I've adhered to, I trust, put those words in there, I know who I've trusted, and I am persuaded. The Amplified Version says this, he says, I am positively persuaded, no doubt. And then, this best part, he is able to keep. Now, in other words, that able to keep, what you've committed to him, if you've committed to him your life, your soul, God is able to keep it, and we've committed it to him. Have you done that in your life? Have you said, Lord, I'm yours? I'm going to use a phrase that I grew up hearing, lock, stock, and barrel. In other words, no reserve, nothing held back. The old hymn that we used to sing, I surrender all. And again, I didn't know what I was doing in all of that, surrendering everything as a 12-year-old boy. But as I grew in the Lord, I had to surrender my driving to Him, my date life to Him, my marriage to Him. Lord, I surrender all to You. I pray that You've done that. And then in verse 13, he says something that Timothy needed to know, we need to know even in 2025. Hold fast. That means keep it. Don't lose it. It means retain it. Keep it. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. He's saying, Timothy, they're trying to persuade you to lessen up. Don't be so hard. Does truth really matter? Because false teachers had crept in and they had perverted the gospel. But he says, hold fast to this pattern. This idea of pattern is that has been cut out for you. The platform that I've given you, that the Holy Spirit has dwelt and given in me, and it's faith and love which are in Jesus Christ, the only way. Hold fast to that in your teaching. If you're a pastor, hold fast to the Word of God. If you're a Sunday school teacher, a small group leader, hold fast to the Word of God. Let the Word of God speak. The Holy Spirit will give you guidance. It really will. He will, I should say. Yes, it's good to have a Bible dictionary. It's good to have a lot of things. But you have the most important thing. If you have a copy of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in your life, you're able to dig in, and I pray you would. Now, it says that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Now, this is really the third time that Paul uses this four-letter word, keep. Look back in verse 12. He is able to keep that which I've committed to you. Verse 13, he is saying to Timothy, keep the pattern of sound words. Now, in your version, whichever version, some versions have retained, keep. The New King James that I use, and I love it, I think it really has deep meaning. Hold fast. Don't turn loose. Don't be guilty of saying, well, let's go this way. No, hold fast. Keep these sound words. And now, here it is, the good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. We're able to do so, not in our own, by ourselves, but the Holy Spirit of God working in our lives, doing what He needs to do in our lives. And look at this last phrase in verse 14, who dwells in us. This is called the indwelling Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, we'd find out, and you see it more in Samson than anybody else. The Holy Spirit would come on and leave, come on and leave. But in the New Testament, we find at the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, He came to stay, and He indwells us. The moment of your salvation, when Jesus Christ came in to your life, through the person of the Holy Spirit, never to leave you, never to keep you, but to keep you. And this is what He does, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is just that comforter. He's the paraclete, comes alongside. You remember what Jesus said? I'm going to go away. But when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to lead you into all truth. And matter of fact, you're going to do greater things after I've gone than while I'm here. Now, why would that be? Well, Jesus Christ was beside them. Jesus Christ walked with them, and they would walk with Him, beside Him. And they'd see all that He could do. And it was amazing. And we love the Gospels. But the Holy Spirit of God comes into us. Now, again, only God's Spirit can do that in your life, that He can come in and just change your life and fill that vacuum that only God can fill. So He says He dwells in us. And then He says in verse 15, this you know. Now, He's getting to some things here that's real personal for Him. He says, this you know, Timothy, that all those in Asia have turned away from me. Now, He's going to name two guys, or two people, Philegius and Hermonegius. They have turned against me. They turned away. The possibility of Paul expecting them to come back to him while he was in prison there in Rome. This is his second imprisonment in Rome. We went over this yesterday, and even, we've been talking about it quite a while. the first imprisonment, he was under house arrest. We find that ending in Acts chapter 28, when he had 2 whole years of receiving people coming in and out. He was released after that, and probably he went to Spain, came back, was arrested, and he was placed in prison under chains. He's chained to someone there in dark, dank, dire circumstances. And he is there, but no one, they have turned away from me. This man who have given himself to the church at Ephesus, he spent 3 years in Ephesus training them, helping them, and now they're not helping. Alex, I understood you've joined us. We're in verse 15, and we're talking about those people that's turned away. And I've seen it happen with people that, you know, they're strong for a while, but when things get rough, they really weren't true friends. They kind of hightail it out of town when things get rough. And these two guys that we're talking about in verse 15, they seemed to do that, didn't they?
They really did. Bert, it's great to be with you. Phygellus and Hermogenes, they turned away. You know, it reminds me of 1 John chapter 2, where it says that they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained. And Bert, you know, I believe in the eternal security of the born-again believer. And this doesn't mean somebody might not have a struggle sometime or even backslide, which none of us should do. But if somebody, the word is apostatizes, I mean, if they absolutely turn from and repudiate that which they once proclaimed, I don't think they were ever really truly converted in the first place.
I agree with you fully. And these, we're talking about false teachers. Really, when you get down to it and you see later on what they said before, because he said, again, we went over verse 13, Alan, Alex, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. In other words, he's introducing this because they've been trying to get Timothy to turn away from that and join us. Hey, we can start something new. And these two guys seem like the forerunners of that. So they are false teachers. They're apostate in their teaching, aren't they?
Well, they really are. And, you know, we've talked about the apostles' doctrine, which includes the deity of Christ, the death and resurrection of Christ, salvation by faith, not works. And, you know, I like the way that verse 16 says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Now, this is not Onesimus that we've read about, but Onesiphorus that was mentioned yesterday, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. This is one, or my chain rather, his incarceration. This is one that gets a good report, a good pat on the back, isn't it?
It really is. And this is not unusual for Paul to contrast. He'll do this later on in chapter 4 when he talks about the one that did him much harm, but then he'll talk about those that blessed him. And here's two guys that's turned away, but not this guy. He has stayed with him and grant mercy to the household. In other words, I couldn't help but think about the Philippian jailer. You know, God's going to bless your household too. His household was blessed, and you refresh me. We're going to come back and talk about that refreshing in just a moment. We'll ask the question, do you refresh people when you show up into their presence? We'll be back with more right after this break. If we've learned anything from this election, it's how important it is for us to fight, fight, fight. We also learned how desperately the left wants to fight to take babies' lives, which is why every day Preborn Ministries fights for the babies. Preborn's network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, fighting for mothers deciding between the life and death of their child. Preborn welcomes these women with God's love and offers them a free ultrasound to introduce their precious baby and hear the beautiful heartbeat. This amazing encounter gives her baby a fighting chance, and the majority of the time, she'll choose life. Would you join Preborn in the fight for life? One ultrasound is just $28, and $140 will sponsor 5 ultrasounds. Babies are worth fighting for. To donate, dial pound
250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible, and Preborn has 4-star charity ratings. Fight, fight, fight for the babies.
Do you remember, oh, those lonely nights when he took the wrongs that you couldn't make right? And every tear that you cried, every broken prayer you prayed, he turned it for good. He lets nothing go to waste.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Alex and Bert, you're so honored that you're listening to the American Family Radio Network. And, you know, on Tuesdays, and today is no exception, but on Tuesdays we take prayer requests. So we're going to continue in 2 Timothy chapter 1. But if you would like to share something, and together we'll pray, people all over, really, North America will be listening, and we'll pray together, and we'll get to that. I'm going to give the number, even though we won't get to it till the third segment. But if you want to call in and get in line, get in the queue, it's 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and we look forward to hearing from you in a few moments. But, Bert, before we get too far down the page here, let me put the car in reverse, and I want to go back to verse 12. He says, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed." And this, the wording here is very reminiscent of Job 19:25-27. It says, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." Of course, there's a great song that uses those exact words. Folks, when you know the one in whom you believed, you have confidence. And that's why one of my favorite topics is the physical resurrection of Jesus. Our Lord paid for sin and conquered the grave, rose from the dead, and is coming again. Now, how does that give you confidence? Well, if Jesus can beat the grave and death, he can do anything. Can he help you through that frightening diagnosis? He sure can. He's the Lord of life. He rose from the dead. He resurrects the dead. Can he help you with your mortgage next month? Well, he's built you a home in heaven. He can keep a roof over your head down here on earth. And Bert, I just think there's a lot to be said about remembering the one in whom we believed. And we are, like Paul, we are persuaded that he is able to keep that which we've committed to him. Now, what have we committed to him? Our life, our soul, our eternity. And he is worthy of our trust, isn't he?
He really is. I wrote down, what have you deposited your soul into? Better said, who have you deposited your soul into? That word, when it says, I have committed, another word that could be used is deposited. Alex, we have deposited our life in Christ Jesus. Amen. And guess what? He's able to keep it, and he doesn't go bankrupt. Isn't that awesome?
Amen.
That's,
you know,
our
Bert,
God.
I got to tell you, and forgive me for referencing myself, but growing up in the South, I learned a lot of things. And I'm old enough, I remember, you know, some people that didn't believe in banks, you know. And I can remember overhearing the grown-ups talking about, you know, not trusting the banks. And I remember one time I was in the bank with my dad, and there was a little thing on the shelf, and it said FDIC. And I said, what does that mean? And he said, well, the Federal Deposit Insurance Company, and it said that your deposit is insured with the full faith and credit of the U.S. government. And I guess my point is, you know, they were trying to show people, hey, you can trust what you've put on deposit here. And if that's true for an earthly institution like some bank, how much more so? What have you put on deposit with Jesus? Your soul and your eternity and your well-being. Well, how ironclad is the guarantor. It's Almighty God.
Amen.
I mean, we can trust Him.
Amen, Alex. He is able, isn't He?
He is able.
Only Him. Nope. You're not able to. I'm not able to. The church is not able to. It's government sure not able to. But our God, He is able to keep that which you have deposited into His account. It's His account. And it's on His account that we're saved. It is through Him, not through our own works. It is by grace through faith. Now, Alex, we got to verse 16, and there's a phrase there. We talked about this, and it's not Onesimus that's in the book of Philemon, like you said.
Right.
There's a F sound in Onesimus for us. He noticed this term, and I think these are all important. Often, refresh me. He not only was able to find him one time, but it sounds like he stayed around for a while. Often, refresh me. It sounds like every time, now Paul's, he's in a pit, he's chained, it's dark, dank, and damp, and it's tough and hard, but guess what? This refreshing, the idea was a fresh breeze. Now, I want to tell you, a fresh breeze that when you're in a pit or anything and get a breeze or breath there, you remember that song, He is the air that I breathe?
Yeah.
You know, this guy, I just want to tell you, I was reading about it, doing some study on it, and I said, Lord, I want to be that kind of person that is refreshing to individuals who are hurting, they're in difficult circumstance, that there'd be a refreshing. Notice, but when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. Now, I know it's not in there, but I think it's understood. He finally found me.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like he had to search for him. He didn't give up, did he, Alex?
No, he didn't. And, you know, I was looking at the wording there where you said he oft refreshed me like a fresh breeze. And the wording there is the word for respiration. Like, you know, we breathe. And if you've ever been short of breath, you know how hard that is. Or if you've ever been somewhere where the oxygen was not available, I mean, to get respiration and to breathe again, I mean, it's just like life. And, you know, the encouragement of a brother or sister, that's just such an uplifting thing. And you see how you can refresh somebody. It's just like helping or a word of encouragement or a good deed or helping. But one of the things when I was youth pastor, and we loved to do this, it was such a joy, but our youth group and I, we would always go and rake the leaves or try to get up limbs, you know.
Yeah.
It not a hard thing at all, but for a shut-in or an elderly person, I can just see now the joy on some of their faces that we could help with chores. And I want to tell you, folks, if you get the gift of helping and serving, you're the one that gets the blessing. You really are.
You really are.
Verse 17.
Okay, go ahead. Before we go to 18, let's finish up 17. Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Sounds like, for Paul, this Onesiphorus, and his name actually means beneficial, or profitable. It wasn't just a one and done. Sounds like he had a long time, multifaceted, investment in the work of the greatest Christian that ever lived, the Apostle Paul. Bert, if there were a Mount Rushmore for Christians, I would think the Apostle Paul's image would have to be up there.
I agree. Hey, listen to this. This is not the first time he's blessed Paul. He did it when things were easier. He did it at Ephesus when it wasn't illegal religion. The religion of Christianity was legal then, but since he's been there, it's been declared illegal. And a lot of these guys, the ones they were talking about, 15, no, they departed, but not this guy. He stayed with it. Look at it diligently. He did some things to bless some people. It may not work the first time, but diligently he did this. The other thing that I want to do, and I did this when we first started, the word ashamed, you find it three times in chapter one. You find it first when he asked Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. Timothy, don't you be ashamed. And here, or rather, I'd say in verse 12, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the difficulty I've been through to make sure the gospel is preached. And now he says, Onesiphorus is not ashamed. Listen, that covers it. The person who is blessing me, the one I'm writing to, and myself, we're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sounds like Romans, but mm-hmm. This is so important. Why is this so important here? It's because these people in Ephesus, in Asia, that had been with him, it's like they've turned their back on Paul. Even if they haven't deserted the faith, you know, they haven't stayed true to a friendship sticking with Paul. And so here it is. I want to be a guy that refreshes people, Alex. That's what we want to explore in the Word to do, don't we? We want the Word of God to refresh those believers that are listening.
Well, and Bert, you do. And listen, we give God the glory. But folks, I just wish you knew Bert Harper like I've known him for nearly 16 years. I have never, ever seen Bert have an off day or be down. And that joy and that zeal and that power in Jesus, man, you carry it about you at all times. And, you know, I give God the praise. We've done 3,000 radio shows, and you're always on. And
their hyperactivity is helpful sometimes, okay?
Well,
The Lord can even take someone that's dyslexic, somebody that's hyper, and through the power of the Spirit of God, he can even use a guy like that, Alex. I give him praise.
Well, hey, before we get into chapter 2 of 2 Timothy, what about Fishbowl?
Oh, yeah, man. Let me just tell you.
And folks, listen, if you want to get some of this contagious joy and strength for the day, you need to come hang out with Bert and Jan Harper. But when is Fishbowl?
It is October 28th, 29th, and 30th. It's at Pickwick Landing State Park. Beautiful, right there on the Tennessee River. It'll be the fall of the year. You can look out over the river and see on the other side trees that'll be all different colors. It's a beautiful time. And there's rooms that are available. Again, we would love for you to go to repairingthefoundations.net. And J.J. Jasper is going to be speaking, but we got another guest we're excited about. Dr. Alex McFarlane is going to be there. And his wife, Angie, it'd be good to meet the better parts of Alex and Bert, and that's Jan and Angie. And so welcome. Good music. Randy Wood, he's been there the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, and Randy does an awesome job. And so, Alex, go to repairingthefoundations.net and register today. Do that.
Amen. Amen. Well, Bert, I'm incredibly honored to be invited, and we look forward to it very, very much. 2 Timothy 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The word there, be strong, it's a variation. I know everybody's heard it preached on dunamis, okay? But the word E-N, in dunamu, in other words, be enabled in the strength of the Lord. And that prefix there means increase in, strengthen. It's almost like you are strong and you get a double strength from God, so walk in it. You know, folks, believe you can do it. You can overcome, in Jesus, depression or stress or discouragement or regret or fear or, you know, misgivings and apprehension, anxiety. Bert, when you're with the one who has all the power, then you can overcome all the struggles.
Amen. Well said, Alex. It is so true. Now, that brings us to verse 2. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, here it is. Be strong. Why? because of what we call discipleship. Listen to this. See if you can get the four generations. Four generations. And the things that you have heard from me. Okay, here's Paul. That's one. Timothy, you've heard it from me. Among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men. The third generation, who are able to teach others also. Fourth. Alex, okay, do you know how many runners there are in a relay race? Four. The guy starts it off, then you got two more, you hand off the baton, and then there's that guy that's going to take it to the end. Here it is, and again, there's four, quote, runners here, or four stewards of the Word of God, and we are, he's saying, Timothy, be strong in the grace of God. I've given it to you. That's great. Take it. But now it's your turn to do what? Hand it off to the others that are there and be sure and tell them what they're supposed to do. They're the hand it off to the others. Alex, chapter 2, verse 2 of Timothy is a guide. You know, over here it says, let me do this and I'll throw it to you. In verse 13, it says, hold fast to the pattern of sound words. Hold fast to the doctrine that I gave you, the gospel. But here, I think it's saying hold fast to make sure you hand it off. You catch what I'm saying?
Amen. Amen. You know, the things that you have heard, and the word is acousis, from which we get the word acoustic. You've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit, in other words, entrust, impart, perpetuate to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. What have we heard? Well, the faith once delivered, Jude 3, how the Son of God died, rose again from the dead. We're saved by faith in him. Bert, isn't it exciting? And I think very meaningful. You and I and every Christian, we are proclaiming the very same saving gospel that was birthed in the resurrection of Jesus and Amen. Preached by the earliest disciples.
It is eternal. Day of Prayer, that number, 888-589-8840.
Are you a new small group leader looking for a strong curriculum? Even if you've been a leader for years, there's always a need for tools to help you as you help others deepen their love for God and their Bible knowledge. AFA Stream is a great resource. With topics covering biblical worldview training, godly marriage, and more, you'll have access to some of the best teaching available. And if you're a Great Commission partner, you open up even more. Visit stream.afa.net today. Stream.afa.net.
Don't stop praying. Don't stop calling on Jesus' name. Keep on pounding on heaven's door. Let your knees well out the floor. Don't stop believing.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. This is Bert and Alex, and it's Tuesday, and it's Day of Prayer. If you have a prayer request or a praise, we got a praise yesterday. Someone called in, talked about what God had done in a relationship with their daughter and doing magnificent things. I'm telling you, we rejoice. So if you've got one of those praises, it may be an answered prayer. You may have not called it in, but you've been praying about it, and you'd like to share that praise that God has done in your life. We'd love to hear it. It really is an encouragement. It really, really is. And that number, if you want to pray or praise, and if you have a question, get it in, and we'll try to answer it if we have time, for sure. It is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840 is the number. And Alex, let me put this in first. We need to pray for Israel for sure. You know, a lot of things going over there again. And five people were killed there. And I reckon it was a bus or a train, I think. Yeah. And then they are going back. And so it's still, don't think everything's settled down. So keep praying for the peace of Jerusalem.
Absolutely, absolutely. And again, folks, if you want to get in the queue and you have a prayer request, we would love to just, this is family here, folks. Don't be intimidated, but a lot to pray about, and certainly the peace of Jerusalem and events in the Middle East as well. We're going to begin in Mississippi. Steve in Mississippi, thanks for holding and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
I just have a prayer request for myself. I feel like I need help with regulation of my mind. It's just like evil, just thoughts, and it's really wearing on me.
Okay. Steve, we're going to pray for you, but we're going to also make some biblical thoughts that help. I think it will. You know, right before you go to bed, spend some time quietly in the Word of God. Do not just have the TV on and then go to bed. Spend some quiet time. Find you some music that would bless you, Christian music that would help you recall the good things of God, and dwell and wake up of the morning. Start your day and end your day with peaceful thoughts concerning who Jesus Christ is. Alex, add to that, brother.
Yeah, God bless you, Stephen. We are certainly going to pray for you here in just a second. Let me read a little bit, if I could, from Philippians. And I love Philippians, but in chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, folks, all of us, because our thought life is so important, Philippians 4, 6 and 7, be careful for nothing. In other words, don't worry. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And Steve, let me just encourage you, believe on and meditate on what is true. And what is true is that Jesus loves you very much. He's with you. He's not going to abandon you. You do not have to be defined by your past or even your present moment, but our identity is in Jesus Christ. And all of us, we need to believe the truth that we are with him and we are victors in Christ. And I want to pray about that right now, if I may, Bert. Can I?
You go right ahead, Alex. Please,
folks, let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the truths and the realities that not only pave the way for our eternity, but really they encourage and strengthen us at this very moment. And I especially lift up my brother Steve. Father God, help him renew his mind. Romans 12 says that you do refresh and renew our mind. And Lord, whatever is on his mind, let all of us, Steve and every one of us, help us to rejoice in the truth. Do not let us be vulnerable to the lies of Satan, and even Satan's discouragement and stress. Those are lies also. And so whatever it is in Steve's heart, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that he would have joy, that he would be positive, he would have that upward look, and all of us, help us to just live and walk and rejoice in the knowledge that we are your children, you are with us, you love us. Matthew 6:8 says, you know what we need even before we ask. And for that and more, we praise you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Alex, before we go to the next caller, Brent has one that come over. Brent, go ahead and give us that, brother.
This is from Ursula. She posted on Facebook. She's asking for prayer as she continues her pursuit of a degree in special education.
Oh, wow. Oh, man. Why,
Ursula,
why
you can do it.
You can. Keep it up. We're going to add you to the prayer. I got this down, and we'll pray for you as we pray for the next person as well. Alex, who's next?
Bob in Mississippi.
Hey,
Bob.
Hey there, Brother Bert. Brother
Welcome.
Alex.
Yes, sir.
Just requesting some prayers for my dad and my mom, and really our entire family. My dad recently was diagnosed with some pretty extensive bone cancer in his spine and his pelvis, and the prognosis does not look good. And, you know, I fully trust that, you know, our lives are in God's hands, and none of us can add a second to our lives. But I just really pray that during this time, it's going to be a trying time for everybody, that we just continue to see God and trust in him.
Bob, thank you for your call. Thank you for sharing that. Listen, having your mom, Alex and I have experienced this, her moms and her dads going through struggles. My dad, it was dementia. Listen, it was difficult and hard through the process or through cancer. I've seen that. So we're going to pray for you, and we're also going to pray for Ursula. Father, I thank you that we can pray for Bob, not only him, but his mom, his dad going through this. It is hard. And Father, this life is difficult and hard. It's not something that's a breeze through it, everything. No, we struggle through. And at the end of life, it's like my mother-in-law said, man, growing old and having difficulties, it's hard. And Father, I pray that you'd be with him, speak to his heart, maybe a testimony, a light to others. And I pray as people would minister to him and to his wife and even to Bob, that Bob and his mom and dad would do what Onesiphorus did, and that be a fresh awareness that God is there. We're praying for Ursula as she's continuing to work on her degree. And Father, sometimes it gets difficult and hard, but I pray for her to have victory in this, that she would continue trusting in you. And Father, help her. May she get through and become your special agent of grace to people that she'll work with. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. So we're going to go to Texas and talk to Wendy. Wendy, thanks for holding. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. I would like to request prayer for our adult daughter. She is in a very complicated, controlling relationship, and she is being pushed by multiple people to get married against our wishes at the end of October. And we're seeing red flags that other people are not, and we just need God to do a miracle as only he can.
Mm. Amen. Yeah. Alex, sounds like we pray for her, open her eyes and let her see the full picture. A lot of times, do we have tunnel vision sometimes when in these relationships, Alex?
We do. And it's funny, over the weekend I was traveling and had a great event in Arkansas, but a lady asked for prayer for her niece, who is in a very bad relationship, a good Christian girl, but is just about to marry the wrong guy, just seriously. And I know we see these situations, and we pray about that. One other thing, and I want to add to Wendy's prayer request for the daughter and also for the woman that was asking prayer for her niece. We had a listener named Bob Kelly. He was a great guy, and he was a medical engineer and helped design heart valves, and he was a great defender of the faith, and he loved this show. And I just heard from his wife, Barb, that he went to be with the Lord and just had a heart attack, but a great believer. So if you think of Bob Kelly, he pray for his family. He's passed on as of a few hours ago, Bert.
Well, let me pray for these, then you can do it the next time since you asked that for prayer. Is that all right, Alex?
Yes, sir.
Father, thank you for Wendy calling. So many, and we hear it in Wendy's voice, that concern, that compassion, that a lot of times it's from parents and relationships, and we're praying for this daughter, for her eyes to be opened, for her to come to her full awareness of around her and not live in this bubble of thinking, oh, it's all right, he'll change. God, may she see clearly. I'm praying for this, Father, and making a wise decision based upon that. We're praying, Father, for this lady that was in Arkansas with Alex about her niece in this relationship that is wrong. And Father, we pray that like what happened with Gomer and Hosea, that if that person won't, I pray the person they're attached to would leave them, and they would come back and get right with you and family. And Father, we're praying for the family of Bob Kelly.
Yeah.
God, to have a saint that's gone on to be with the Lord, it's awesome. It's great to know where they are, but it leaves a vacuum here in the family and friends. And I pray that you'd be with them in a real way, that you would be lifted up. And in the services, whatever they are, memorial, funeral, whatever they would be, Father, that Jesus Christ would be magnified and glorified, and that men, women, boys, and girls would be drawn unto you. We're praying this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Folks, if you want to call in with a Bible question or a prayer request, it's 888-589-8840. Terry in Texas. Terry, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi, how are y'all doing today?
Good, good. Thank you for calling.
Okay, I want to give a praise report about my daughter. And sometimes when I pray for things in my life, I cast sleep. And I'm sure y'all know what that means. But she was getting married. She got married in August, but I did not feel like she was equally yoked. And so I was praying, God, please open her eyes. So if this is not meant to be, please let her know that. And not 2 weeks after I prayed that prayer, God gave me the answer. But it wasn't the answer I was looking for. She told me she was pregnant. And I was like, okay, God, so that means he's supposed to be here. They're equally yoked. And the miracle in that is she didn't ever think she would get pregnant. And she got pregnant once and lost her daughter at 5. And 8 years later, she's pregnant again unexpectedly. And for God, 8 is new beginnings. So I just want to praise God for all that.
Okay, Terry. God, it's amazing what God can do. Romans 8:28-29. Our God is able to take all those things and work it for good. Now, a lot of times it's not what we want, but it's to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Do not read chapter verse 28 without reading verse 29 about being conformed to his will. That's his ultimate desire for us, isn't it, Alex?
It really is. It really is. And when Bert and I go to NRB every year, we have a friend that we meet with. And I want to tell you, the joy of meeting with Barry McGuire usually lasts a month or more. He is the most joyful guy. But I asked him one time, and he's a Christian businessman, and he has McGuire's Car Wax, the biggest car wax in the world, and he is a soul winner. I mean, this man, and I've walked around the convention center with him, and he shares the gospel with everybody. But Barry McGuire said this. He said 50-something years ago, he and his wife, they had, you know, struggles, as we all do. He said, but he realized, as a Christian, nothing bad is going to happen to him. And he said, and I said, well, wait a minute, there's some days that are hard. He said, ultimately, a good God, an all-powerful God, a loving Savior, ultimately, nothing bad is going to happen. He said, even if it is something bad, God will turn it to something good. And I want to tell you, Bert, Barry McGuire's confidence in Jesus, it's rubbed off on me.
Amen.
But he's right, isn't it?
It is. We look. It's not through rose-tinted glasses. It's not something that's fake. It's looking at them. And there's a song, My Father's Eyes.
Yes.
We want as best I can. Lord, you heard that WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? Lord, help me have vision that see what God sees as best I can. I'm not God. Don't put me there. But I want to see what he sees, and he works these things for good.
Yes. Bert, are you able to pot up Frank from Kentucky there?
We're running out of time. We got and Brent had a prayer request real quick.
Okay, Brent.
Lee was asking for prayer for those listeners we have that are incarcerated.
Amen. We hear from them, don't we, Alex?
We do. And by the way, I would be remiss if I did not say this. My own state of North Carolina, the city of Charlotte, there was a terrible, heinous murder on the train down there in Charlotte. You might have seen a precious little Ukrainian lady of 23 years old. Just pray about that God would rein in the violence of our inner cities.
Amen. And God do a work, and they can get a Bible in prison. They may not can get it in a school, but they can get it in prison. And God take your word and accomplish what you sent it forth to do. Yes. And beside the bars, on both sides of the bars, we thank you for what you've done. We look forward to what you're going to do. We put it in your hands in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to Exploring the Word. Tell someone about the program, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.